This is In the Studio with Mohawk College President Ron McCurley. Conversations with people who make a difference at Mohawk College.
Hi, we're in the studio today with Nick Petrella. Nick is a professor and first-year coordinator in the Health, Wellness, and Fitness program. Nick, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's delightful to have you here, and it's the first time meeting you, so we're going to get to know you a little bit, and the listeners are going to get to know you a little bit over the next few minutes. So first of all, Nick, tell us a little bit about the program that you run. So what are your responsibilities and what are you teaching students?
So the Health, Wellness, and Fitness program, it's a two-year diploma. We're fairly young. We're only about 5 years old. So I started with the program when basically it was in its infancy of developing courses and content. Essentially, we're training our students to become everything from personal trainers to consultants, corporate wellness consultants. We kind of cover the whole scheme of fitness, health, and wellness. We're much different than any other college because we don't specifically look at Canadian guidelines. We also teach to the National Strength and Conditioning Association, which is the American version of the gold standard in the U.S. So we try and cover a little bit of everything. We don't have that traditional, you know, this is the only way to do it. We have a pretty diverse faculty that looks at, you know, almost everything in the health and fitness realm and tries to prepare our students to with anything that they might encounter in the future.
So, Nick, how did you end up at Mohawk? How did you come here? What did you do before and how did you end up in this particular program?
I did my undergrad degree at Brock, and I also did a master's of science at Brock, both in kinesiology. Throughout my whole time since I was 18 years old, I've been working as a strength and conditioning coach or a personal trainer. And then I was actually doing, I'd started a PhD at Western in kinesiology as well. And I was a couple of years into my PhD when I was offered the position here through a friend of a friend to help develop some courses. And then that kind of took off from there. When we were hired part-time, basically, we were hired on a contract to just develop content and develop courses, and that turned into teaching and then into coordinating. So there was two of us that were part-time for 2 years until there was a full-time hiring, and then we were hired on full-time. So,
now, Nick, you've become a real mental health advocate on campus and in the community. Who or what inspired you to share your very personal story about your own battle with depression?
I've had a battle with depression, anxiety for as long as I can remember. So all the way from being a child, you know, but, to be honest with you, I really didn't know that. Maybe I was ignorant to it. Maybe the fact that I didn't want to admit to it. And about 5 years ago, just when I was starting here, I was literally having a conversation with a friend of mine and talking about some things that we wanted to do better, be better at personally. And one of them was I've never had very good control over my emotion is the way I described it. I could be up and down. I could be angry. I could be upset. I could be miserable. I could be happy. And there was really no kind of balance in my life, so to speak. And that was something I wanted to improve on because it was affecting my work here because I was very passionate about what I did. And if something wasn't going my way or as I expected, that would influence how I would react and influence the rest of my day and sometimes my week and month. So I wanted to get a better handle on that. And the suggestion that my friend made to me was to see a therapist, that maybe a social worker could help or something like that. So I went and you know, after a month of therapy, that's when my psychiatrist basically suggested that I have severe depression and anxiety. And I said, no, that's not me. And, you know, I have everything I want in my life. There's nothing I don't have that I want kind of thing. So it was about 3 years of therapy before I finally decided to kind of tell people about it and to, you know, that was kind of my, I call it like my first step in recovery because I was finally able to admit to some of the things that were going on and I was very, you know, I was getting comfortable with the fact that it was okay to go through and to talk about what I was feeling kind of thing. And then from that day, I gave my first kind of motivational talk to a group of health, wellness, and fitness students. I think there were about 45 or 50 in the room. And, you know, that was just over a year ago now. And since that day, I've probably spoke to well over 5,000 people face to face. And, you know, I've had many more conversations via email and text message, Facebook, all that. Mostly because a lot of people don't realize that it's okay to talk about it. And not only is it okay to talk about it, but it's okay to ask for help. And, you know, being a former athlete, that was my biggest thing, is I didn't need help. I didn't want help. I didn't want to admit that I needed help with anything, let alone something I couldn't control in my body. So just kind of trying to inspire people that it's okay to reach out, you know, if you're feeling stress or something's going on in your life that maybe nobody really understands, it's okay to ask somebody for guidance or advice, or even just, you know, talk to somebody about it, because not even a professional, maybe just a friend or a colleague or anybody for that matter, because it's not so much the advice you're going to get, but it's the fact that if you're able to communicate how you're feeling, your problems tend, not your problems, but the stressors in your life tend to not find a way to work themselves out, but maybe they just become a little bit lighter.
Nick, it strikes me that for years we have not talked about mental health issues. We have not talked about depression. We've hardly even recognized it, I think, in ourselves or our friends and family. I have a sibling who for 30 years has dealt with depression, but didn't really even want to acknowledge it out loud or speak about it until the last couple of years, where he's finally been able to get some help. What would you say to people that have gone through and gone on part of the journey that you've been on? What advice would you give them? What should they be doing?
I think the most important thing to remember is that it's not, you know, for people that deal or live with a mental illness or a mental health problem, they typically don't go away. And until you learn how to cope with the things that are going on, they won't ever get better. And for a lot of people, myself included, you know, I kept it fairly hidden, which is okay, which is completely fine. But myself included, people don't necessarily realize that, you know, you're not alone. And in fact, there are more people that are experiencing mental health problems than are willing to admit. And the statistics are kind of, you know, they're very alarming in the fact that one in three people will experience a mental health problem at some point in their lifetime. So, you know, if you look around a classroom, you look around a faculty meeting, you look around a staff meeting or even, you know, a Christmas party, the number of people that are in that room that might be feeling the exact same way as you are is really alarming. And you know, some people are obviously more comfortable talking about it than others, and that's the big difference. And that's kind of a little bit of my inspiration too, is, you know, I've become comfortable enough to speak about it publicly and in front of large forums and large audiences. You know, and I like to kind of say that I'm talking for the people that maybe aren't ready to talk yet, and help guide them in the direction to get the help they need. And for those that are seeking help and seeking guidance and advice, it's a lifelong kind of journey. It's a, you know, even when you're in recovery, it's, you know, every day you're practicing coping skills and techniques, especially, you know, this time of year when everybody thinks December is, you know, such a positive month. But for people with mental health problems, it's one of the most difficult because of all the stress of holidays, family, gifts, and you know, everything in the academic environment with grading and you know, exams and assignments. It is one of the most difficult times of year for a lot of people. And this is the time when we need to be talking about it more, so that those people, specifically our students, in my case, are more comfortable to come forward and say, you know, things just aren't going right. And, you know, and that's okay, but I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know where to go from here.
You're listening to In the Studio. In the Studio. With Mohawk College President Ron McCurley.
This is Ron McCurley. I'm in the studio today with Nick Petrella, who's a professor and first-year coordinator in the Health, Wellness, and Fitness program. We've been talking about mental health issues like depression. And Nick, before the break, your advice was speak up and talk to people. And you also mentioned that the holiday season can be a very challenging time of the year for people. And I know that for a fact. I know that I have family members who love Christmas and others who dread it, all related to lots of history and issues that they're trying to deal with. And sometimes we assume it's going to be a happy time. It's not always a happy time for all people. I'm wondering, as you've talked to, and you mentioned you talked to some 5,000 people about your own personal situation, what's the reaction been? First of all, what's the reaction been from students?
Students, the reaction is very, very positive. You know, in one of the, coming from a university background, one of the things that, you know, you were kind of exposed to was that your professors weren't human and they weren't normal and they didn't deal with life the way that you dealt with it. So when I open up to students and kind of put my vulnerability out there, the reaction is very positive and very kind of welcoming, as well as very warm, because a lot of students need to see that out of their mentors or the professors and the staff and the faculty, because they need to see that there's more to us than what's portrayed in the classroom or through an email. I've received a lot of positive feedback, and more so than not, I've kind of become a support person for a lot of students. I have a lot of students contacting me, meeting face-to-face to discuss what's going on, more so sometimes just to get things off their chest, sometimes looking for a little more direction on where to go, community resources, on-campus resources, just trying to figure out what's available for them, figuring out what the next step is. But overall, the reaction and the response is very, very great.
Now, when you are talking about this, your colleagues are listening as well, of course, and one of the things that you're doing is making yourself vulnerable. And not everybody likes to put themselves in that position, particularly when they are a professor, when they're there to impart knowledge to the students and seen as a bit of an authority figure. What has the reaction been from colleagues as you've told your story?
It's kind of mixed in the perspective, I'm not speaking at the college, just in general from colleagues around kind of, all of Ontario. It is mixed. Some people are very hesitant to talk about it, very fearful to bring it up still. I think the idea is, I don't want you to impart your problems on me because then they become my problems kind of thing. But at the same time, I've had the exact opposite reaction where a lot of people are open to talk about it and they ask questions, and that's the kind of reaction that I like. And, that's the idea behind me speaking up, is I want more people to ask and to talk about it. And, I want more people to feel comfortable asking about it, because I wouldn't be speaking publicly about it if I wasn't ready to have people ask me questions about it. When I do the large group speaking engagements, my advice is that there's always, for every five people, there's going to be four that are going to turn their back. One is going to be a new, maybe not a new friend, but a new resource in your life, somebody that you can rely on. And that's kind of what the difficulty that a lot of people experience is that, so a lot of people do turn their back and walk away from it. And that's the frustrating part. That's the part where you lose trust in speaking out or speaking up. And you place a lot of trust in people when you open up your vulnerability. And when you have four turn their back or walk away or ignore what you're saying, that's what continues to build the stigma around mental health for sure.
Nick, if somebody is listening to this podcast and thinking, boy, this could be me, where would you send them? Who would you suggest they talk to? Where can they go for help?
Hamilton, I just moved to Hamilton about a year ago, and Hamilton is a phenomenal city for resources. The mental health awareness in Hamilton is higher than most cities I've ever been to. On campus specifically, we offer free counseling to students who are maybe struggling with some sort of problem. It doesn't have to be, a mental illness or a mental health disorder. It can just be simply stress-related. Free counseling on campus is available to all of our full-time students. In Hamilton specifically, there's a number of resources, including, there's Coast, which is a mobile team for crisis situations that basically is a social worker, a plainclothes police officer, are dispatched to the situation. And it is more from a treatment perspective than a criminal perspective. And that's another part of the stigma, is that we think that with mental illness, people are criminals, and that's what the media tells us. But, if you ever have somebody in a crisis, if you do just call 911 and ask for a CIT trained officer, which is basically crisis intervention, they're dispatched with a background in mental health and solving mental health problems, or not solving, but dealing with mental health problems appropriately. There's a lot of the Good Shepherd. There's a lot of places that will naturally just accept people that walk in for advice. I always suggest, most importantly, before, some people are more comfortable reaching out to a professional first. Some are more comfortable reaching out to their closest friends, whether it be encouraging professional support or somebody else to speak to. It's just communicating it, and it might even be through a text message. My first communication publicly about what I was going through was through a YouTube video, because I didn't feel comfortable speaking to somebody. So I used YouTube as my media resource. Here at the college, actually, you know, we have free counseling, but we're also looking at developing a team that is going to be similar to Social Link, but geared directly towards mental health problems. People who might be struggling with something that could literally just come in and have peer-to-peer support or group support, or maybe just need a space where they feel like they can be themselves without being judged. You know, they can talk to somebody about maybe some stress in their life, how to manage it better. And, you know, so there's not only here at the college, there are a lot of resources outside, like I mentioned, too.
You've been listening today to In the Studio. My guest today was Nick Petrella, who's a professor and first-year coordinator in the Health, Wellness, and Fitness program. Nick, thank you for being here today. Thank you for telling your story and for talking to some of our listeners about how they might get help if they're in any way suffering from any sort of mental health or depression or anxiety or other issues.
Well, thank you for having me.
In the Studio with Ron McCurley, conversations with people who make a difference at Mohawk College. Produced by students and staff in the studios at 101.5 The Hawk FM. Look for the podcast on iTunes and join us next time for In the Studio with Ron McCurley.